I know some of us are gathering together, and it's so good and great to see each and every one of us here today. I know there are some who are not able to be with us because of various colds and illnesses and sicknesses, and we certainly remember them on this day and continue to think of them. And we're grateful that you're here and you're able to gather and worship with us. Just a couple of things. We're grateful for those who helped and assisted in our men's breakfast on yesterday, and it's a good time to gather together. Just a reminder that next month is our last men's breakfast of this season until next year. Boy, that time has flown by. To remember about that. And today is a large coffee hour. Many have been bringing in some food and things to share, and we invite you to spend some time with us after service today as we go downstairs. And what a wonderful time that always is. Our mission of the month this month is the Smith House, and there's information in the bulletin regarding that. A brand new ministry that the deacons have chosen, and brand new for us to give to you, that the deacons have chosen. And so you'll be good to read that. Easter flowers are before us. And if you'd like to order them, please see Mrs. Hemstreet regarding that. And I'll just mention out loud that I'm going to make sure I get my money to you, okay? All right, because sometimes it just goes through. Our next craft class is this coming Saturday, and from 1 to 3. Also on Saturday, noon to 2, we will have the Easter Bunny. This is something brand new for us, and it's pictures with the Easter Bunny, I should say it that way. Pictures with the Easter Bunny and meet the pastor. That's what it is. And it's a way of getting new and younger families into the church. And so that will be this coming Saturday as well. There is so that you'll know, there's a funeral Saturday morning here for someone in our junction who had passed away. Karen Uries passed away. Some of us know her. And at 10 o'clock on Saturday, we'll have a gathering for that. Also, there are jars in the back for Lent. And if you'd like to put money in those, that for whatever you gave up during Lent, and then return those back here to support the church in a wonderful, wonderful way. A reverse craft fair will be held May 2nd here at the church from 10 a.m. Through 3 p.m. And VBS on July 27th through the 31st. I received a note from Debbie Woodward asking us to remember her mother, Hank Trumbly, who will have a birthday on the 25th of March. And she gave me the age and asked me to say I don't like to give women's age. But here it goes, 95. And hope you remember it. I'm not going to say it again. But her birthday is on the 25th. And I know she would appreciate cards regarding that. And speaking of birthdays, there's someone here today whose birthday is today, and that is Carol Baker. And we're so thrilled to celebrate with Carol today. You say, I don't know who it is. Just look for the lady who just turned red. No, I mentioned that I would say that, so she knew I was going to. It's not a, wishing Carol, God bless you on your birthday today. Are there any other announcements we wish to share? Hearing none, seeing none, our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. With all my heart, we've gathered together to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And I'm going to invite you, if you're able to stand with us, to join us in our intro. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The things of earth will grow strange. Lead them in the light of His glory and grace. Our synthesis this morning will come to us from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, seeing I have rejected him for being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.'"
"And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me him whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said,
And he said, "Peaceably, for I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointing is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab. I'll get it right. And he made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen me." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by and said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these."
And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep."
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him by the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Don't close that for a second. If you'll just look there for a little bit, you might notice that there's only two spaces where you or responded, and I had a whole bunch. That's because I forgot to highlight a place, and I got tickled when I was reading, because verse 7 and 8 was supposed to be yours. And I was getting all glad because I said, past Monday, I said, I don't have to pronounce those names. I got so tickled with that. And the Lord said, well, I'll show you a thing or two. Okay, let us join together, please, in our first hymn of praise. Hymn number 2, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord and have mercy upon him. Let us return to our God that he might have mercy upon us, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let us pray together. Almighty and merciful God, we continue to want more, blind to the blessings we already possess. We want everything now, blind to the value of patience and hard work. We take so much delight in our own accomplishments that we are blind to people in need. Hear us, Holy Father, as we spend a few moments in prayer reflection. Hear us as we pray. Forgive us, cleanse us of our entitlement, anxiousness, and pride. Help us to see the world with your eyes so that we can be people of gratitude, courage, and compassion because of what we see in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news, and let us live in the loving kindness of our God. And just before we're seated, let us affirm what we believe by saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence we should come to judge the quick and the dead. Even the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Please hear these words our Lord Jesus Christ has said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Our words of assurance will come to us from Psalm number 23.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading Psalm 23. Probably like most of you, it's my favorite. So I was just thrilled when Nancy asked me if I would read it this morning. And I was wondering if you would like to say it with me. It would be a pleasure to hear all of you, and I'm sure the Lord would like to hear that too. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
This is the word of the Lord. Linda, what a wonderful idea you just had in inviting all of us to play, oh, good gracious, help me, Lord, to read of the Psalm 23, and it's a beautiful sound in listening to all of your voices and reading together. Right now, the other Linda is going to bail me out. Oh, now, our ministry of music, the power of the cross. the power of the cross. Thank you, Linda, for that. What a wonderful expression of the journey of the cross and of the cost of the cross. And a loving God will do that for us. Inside my wedding ring is a passage scripture, Philippians 1:3-7. I would agree with you, but Colleen was the one to put this on, and she would be the one to take it off. But Philippians 1:3 says, I thank my God for every remembrance of you. And so I want to thank God for some special people that are here today. And I just want to bring them out to talk about it. And that's how you do it. We're here. I see them right here. That's there, that's unbelievable today. And I thank God that mom and dad, grandma, granddad, aunt, uncle, whomever brought you here today. That you brought me here. That's a delight to us. I'm going to say just one more thing. Okay? I'm going to say to each of you, I'm going to get out of breath and walk back and forth. Jesus says that a long time ago to our young people. And I want to encourage you to join me in praying for them. Pray for them.
to Children's Church now, and let's take our hymnals, please, and turn to our next hymnal. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us pray. Good and gracious
Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can spend time in our day to gather into this space, in our worship, sing songs, recite scripture, consider your word, love one another as you taught us to. I ask that you will bless your word to our hearing, to our living, and to our being. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Quite interesting, our lectionary, like last week, have brought us to a lengthy passage of scripture. And this week we are brought to John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Sit back, sip your coffee or water, and hear the word of the Lord. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the man's eyes with the clay and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. He went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before he was a beggar said, "Is not this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He said, "I am the man." And they said to him, how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And so I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." And they brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees again asked how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they again said to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe him that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we don't know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I can see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already. Will you not listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you too want to be his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. For we know that God has spoken to Moses. But for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is a marvel. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone who worshiper is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. And if this were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, you were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? They cast him out. Now verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out and found him saying, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he? Is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. And he said, Lord, I love this. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, and those who not see may see. And that those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this, and they said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you will have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. Who sinned? Who sinned? There's some things in this passage that stands out to us, and very briefly we'll mention them. The first thing that we notice is that the disciples asked Jesus when they came across someone born blind, who sinned? How often we are fast to judge and to think that if something bad happens, it must be that they sinned or they deserve it. A bunch of seminarians, when they're studying in seminary, used to quibble over the question, if God is so powerful and God is so big, could God ever create a rock so heavy that he could not lift it? And they spend time talking about questions like that. I hear those questions. If God is such a loving God, then why will he allow children to suffer and die? If God is such a loving God. And these disciples, and notice, these disciples said, Rabbi, remember, there were many disciples who followed Jesus. So it may not just been the 12 disciples. It could have been some other disciples. We do not know who they are. Rabbi, why did this man was born blind? And notice what God, how Jesus answered him when in verse number 3. Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. He said, it is not an issue of sin for anyone. He said, God might shine his light on him. Shine his light on him. And so we don't know what that means, but perhaps it means what happened that day. Every now and then, I'm sure you're the same way. Whenever I read the Bible, I try sometimes to picture what I'm reading. I just like to see it. And I wonder what that man must have thought. He's blind. Jesus comes up to him. And the Bible says Jesus spat in the ground. Now, I intentionally looked at that word, that Greek word, spit, because I was thinking, well, maybe it's something else. Well, that word means spit. You know, tooie. And I wonder what that blind man must have been thinking when he heard that sound. Jesus is going to heal you. You ready? Tooie. And then he started mixing mud, dirt, and he put those two cakes on his eyes. You know, Jesus has an interesting way of healing. Jesus could have said, eyes be open. Wouldn't that have been nice? But I guarantee you, you're not going to forget. One more time. Tui. Gather together. And Jesus' simple request to him was, you go to the pool of Siloam and washed. And I love this man's testimony. You see, the Bible says that, indicates that this man did not know who Jesus was. All he knew was there was somebody who made clay and put it on his eyes and told him to wash. And once he washed, he could see. That was his testimony. And he said that over and over and over again. I was blind and I couldn't see. Somebody put some clay in my eyes and he told me to wash that clay out. Told me where to go. I went. And when I washed it out, I could see. And what a wonderful thing. And people started talking. You know how people do that, don't you? Whenever somebody, that tongue starts to wag. We do it differently nowadays. We pick up the phone and we go to Facebook and we go to Instagram and we go to, I don't know the other ones out there, Twitter. And we start to talk and we spread the news. And people began to listen and notice and notice something happened. And then people of the church called them. The elders of the church, the Pharisees, they want to know what happened because this happened on the Sabbath. You know, in our denomination, if you go way, way, way back in the Reformed Church in America, there used to be some things you couldn't do on the Sabbath. The only thing you could do is go to church and you studied. You can have a meal, but it was encouraged that you made most of the meal on Saturday. And then you can go home, you can eat. But then you can go back to church. But you couldn't go to the grocery store, couldn't play cards, couldn't play games. You couldn't go outside and enjoy. The Sabbath was for the reform. Earlier on, you just could do nothing on the Sabbath. And the gall of Jesus healing somebody born blind on the Sabbath. And the Bible says that his parents were kind of afraid of the church leaders because they're going to throw us out of church if we admit that this is Jesus. But I love this man. I don't, you know, there are some people I can't wait to meet up in heaven. Of course, I can't wait to talk to Jesus. I can't wait to talk to some of the disciples. But I want to find this old dude. I don't know his name. The Bible doesn't even mention his name, but I hope there's an arrow pointing down to him when we get up there. Because I'm going to shake the hand of somebody who is bold enough to say to some self-righteous people, you call yourself religious and you don't know who Jesus is? Boosh! Notice what happened there in our text. The Bible says they were so upset, they threw him out of the church. Get out of here! You're gone! All because someone changed his life. He didn't know the Apostles' Creed. Linda, he couldn't quote Psalm 23 like you and I and many of us did and read it. He didn't know what that was. He wouldn't know the pledge of. He didn't know any of that. All he knew was somebody touched my eyes. Now I can see. Fast forward. Somebody died on the cross. Now we're saved. What a wonderful testimony. You see, I don't need to know all of the verses in the Bible. I don't need to know all the chapters. It would be helpful for me to know the Bible, and it's great if I read it and study it, and it's precious to me. All I need to do in sharing my testimony is there was a time when I didn't know Jesus, and I learned that he died on the cross for me, and he became my Lord and Savior. Now I'm saved. And that's what this man did. I close with these words. But you look over or listen to verse number 36. Jesus found this man that was born blind. So Jesus begins to ask him. He says, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. Oh, how precious that was. One of the first persons that this man who was born blind saw was Jesus. and now I believe. Who sinned? Nobody. No one sinned. It was not the parents' fault. They didn't eat something they shouldn't have ate and while pregnancy was there. They didn't live a wretched life, and now God is going to punish them by giving them a child who's born blind. Oh, how judgmental, God bless you, how judgmental a number of us are thinking about the things that other people go through. Jesus says none of that happened. It was all so that God to shine a light upon this person, so that on March 15th, 2026, people in this church and everyone who follows the lectionary is still talking about that man who was born blind, that life that Jesus changed. Father God, thank you that there's examples in Scripture where people who do not know who you are begin to know who you are, and they find their lives changed. And for this man, he said, now I believe. Help each and every one of us as we depart from this place, to who have said, yes, I believe, realize that we shine, have a light shone on us so that others might see Jesus in us. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Right now we invite our ushers to gather as we receive our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask your blessing upon them in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. Let us pass to peace.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Thank you. God bless each and every one. I've been asked to announce that we will have choir practice rehearsal after service, and then we'll join those who are downstairs eating. So eat slowly. Don't grab too large of a portion. And then I've been meaning to mention this and announce this, that there's many who have colds and flus. And I know after we sing or the benediction, we hold hands. But there may be some who just don't want to hold hands right now. That's okay. Just know that that's okay. Just mention it to someone, you know, I'd rather not. Because we don't want to pass on colds with that. And I know there's some folks here who are kind of bashful to say, no, they don't want to hurt feelings and all that. But we understand, because that's one of the ways we pass colds. So if you don't want to, that's absolutely okay. Please know that. All right. What are we supposed to do right now? I'm serious. I can't remember. Oh, thank you. When you get to a certain age, 39, you forget. Prayers and concerns. Praying for many who are ill. There are some within our congregation who have the pneumonia and the RSV. I've been in contact with, conversation with a few of these. Some who are in nursing facility, rehabilitation facilities, still many, many needs. I wonder if there's others we wish to remember this morning. I see Linda's hand, and I saw a farmer's hand.
My friend Linda, she's having a procedure on Friday, and she's very nervous about it, and I told her I would be asking for prayer for her. And also a friend of the family, his name is John, and he is slowly losing his sight, and there's an operation that they could do, but the insurance will not cover it. And, well, we know how that works, Pastor.
Right.
Yes. Thank you.
Just continue prayers for Patty.
Continue prayers for Patty. God's hand of healing be upon her. Okay. Yes, Gracia.
I'd like prayers for our country and our military personnel and for the families who have lost their loved ones.
Yes. Larry.
Yeah, praise for my daughter's boyfriend, Phil, in his recuperation, you know, from his stroke. He's up and walking around with no cane, no walker.
Oh, really?
Went to the store the other day, walked around the store and stuff, so.
Oh, wonderful.
Coming back pretty strong, so.
God is answering prayers. Keep on praying for him. We'll keep praying for Phil. Thanks for sharing that update. So wonderful to hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you that we can come to a God who some time ago walked this earth and saw a man born blind, and you did something about it. And Father, just now we've heard various persons who are in need, like that man was, of something to happen in their lives to cure their illness, sickness. Father, for some, like this one gentleman, John, he's losing his sight. But insurance is not approving the procedure. Lord, like you've done for me and many others, I pray, Father, that they'll change their minds and that they will indeed approve the procedure. And our family members will learn very quickly. I know this is Sunday, but you're still working on this day too. Work on the hearts of those who are making decisions. Change their minds, Holy Father. I pray, Father, for Linda, this one who's going to have a procedure done on Friday. I pray, Father, that you will calm Linda, prepare her, keep her body free from any sicknesses or illnesses that might delay this procedure. And then be with the hands of those who will perform this procedure on her. For Patty, I'm grateful, Father, that she's moved to a different place in the hospital, no longer in the critical area. But I pray, Father, you continue to heal her and use those who are giving her treatment. For our country and military and lives that are lost, we remember these. We remember peoples in other lands and countries who are losing loved ones and children. Father, we pray that we would, as a world, study war no more. This fighting and destruction that's going on all over the world, Holy Father, for these we pray. I pray for Phil, and I thank you, Lord, that he is coming along day by day. Continue to meet needs. You know what they are. And then, Father, as we've done a moment ago, we pray for our young people today. On tomorrow, a brand new day of school happens before spring break, and I'm not sure when that is for all of us. I pray that you will be with them and their friends and the classrooms. Surround them with your protection and care. Surround them with their guardian angels. Wash your face, Scripture tells us, to see how we treat each other. Protect our children. Father, for all who stand in need of prayer, we remember them this morning. And then as we spend just a few moments of silence, we ask, Holy Father, that you will hear our prayers. And we remember the words you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, please, and turn to our closing hymn, hymn number 47, God Will Take Care of You. Be not dismayed,
through every
shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace.